We are presenting a message that's entitled Being Wrapped in Truth. Being Wrapped in Truth is part of the Christian and Complete Armor series that we're doing. And why don't you begin reading with me, follow along in verse 10 of chapter 6, Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, says Paul, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, demonic, satanic, spiritual powers. Therefore, he says in verse 13, now this is our response to verses 10 through 12. How do we fight against spiritual darkness? How do we fight an invisible war? He says, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And for me, now here comes Paul's prayer request, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20, it is the key, it is the turning point for the Christian regarding their success or not in this life. You and I saw in our previous studies that we need to be waking up to the fact that we are involved in a spiritual war. If there was ever a true X-file, it's for the Christian. If there was something that could not be exactly explained with strange and bizarre phenomenon and unusual activity, it is the true Christian life. The moment we come to Christ, our eyes are opened and our hearts are revealed into a spiritual kingdom. And at the start, we enjoy it because it is prayer. It is Bible reading. It's fellowship. It's lifting our hands in song, and it's just being together. And God will allow that condition to be enjoyed by the new Christian. But as the Word is exposed to the heart, as more and more Bible studies taken in, God will allow in your life, in my life, more and more exposure to the spiritual realm. It's just the way that it is. We are not playing a game. This thing that we're taking time out to do, I should say, not taking time out, but which we've made our lives, the pursuit of Christ, this is something that is not some game. We're just not a bunch of moral people who have gotten together. It is real. And the forces that fight against us are real. They are spiritual. You can't see them unless the Lord allows you, for whatever purposes, to see them. I know that some of you have seen them. And you might be here tonight going, oh Lord, show me something in the spiritual realm, until you see something, and then you'll say, Lord, don't ever show me anything again in the spiritual realm. We had a friend at Calvary Costa Mesa who was an incredible man of prayer and a great intercessor, and he would see all kinds of things. This guy would see things around people, and he was so quiet, and you would never know anything about it, but he would pray for somebody and you would never know exactly what's going on. And then privately or quietly, he would say, you know, these are the things that I was seeing in this guy's life. And I was just, he would just pray. He just had the ministry of prayer and he would intercede for people. This is a spiritual battle. Have you ever gotten up in the morning and just felt like, what's it called here in Chino? Realm area. Cow patties? Have you ever felt like that? A pasture, whatever you guys call those things. Where's all the dairymen at now? They're getting all quiet here. You ever feel like that? You ever wonder why? You ever get up and you just look at somebody's face and it's like, I don't like them today. of you are looking at each other. Listen, it could be spiritual. You ever just walk into work and everything is like nails on a chalkboard? It just doesn't fit. You can't explain it. Have you ever been emotional? You're just emotional. You can't explain why. Now, for me, I do suffer severely from PMS, personally. You know what the real definition of PMS is? The very first definition ever given to PMS is pre or post ministry syndrome. It happens before and after every message a pastor or an evangelist gives. You feel terrible preparing it, you feel terrible after giving it. It's just, you can't explain it. And there's this topsy-turvy kind of a thing. Many times it's spiritual attack. Now, we can't blame it always on spiritual attack, but sometimes it is. But as we get into this tonight, I want to draw to your attention and really bring back to remembrance the theme of this entire book of Ephesians, because, boy, we really need to hang on it tonight as we look in verse 14. But before we do, remember the theme. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now listen to that. Remember this theme. Who has blessed us. It's all past tense. I love knowing this. It's a done deal. He's blessed us with everything we need to fight the Christian fight right now. Well, Jack, then why am I struggling so much? You know what? You and I struggle so much because we don't stay in the battle and in the Lord, in the Spirit. We so often get our eyes off of, like Peter, Christ, and we begin to sink in the water. But the theme of the book tells us that everything that God can give us has already been provided. And we're going to be looking at one of the implements of warfare tonight. He has given, He continues to give, every spiritual blessing. He's gone before us. You know, that's a great comfort. Have you ever dreaded something? I don't know what it is in your life. Each of us have our own thing that we dread. And isn't it a wonderful thing when you're dreading it? Oh boy, the moment I get home, or the moment I see this, or there's the mailman. Oh no. And you just dread it. Whatever that thing might be in your life. Maybe it's Monday. You just dread it. Whatever it is in your life. It is so wonderful to be dreading something and then come to it to find out only then that someone has taken care of it for you. It's like coming home and someone's mowed your lawn. Wow. It's so really, it's wow. And I don't know what it is for you. For me, it's taking out the trash. It is my worst thing in the home to do, is take out the trash. I don't know why. I just hate it. I only have to go about 35 feet from the side of the yard to the curb. I just hate it. I'll ignore it. Those green and black plastic wheelbarrow bucket things are out there, and I'll pull up, and I know they're empty, and now they've got to be brought back in, and I'll just park the car, and I won't even... I'm in total denial about it. I don't even want to look at that thing. Somebody honks up the street, or, "Hey, Jack!" It's like, "Hey! I don't want to get near the trash can. I don't want to touch the thing. I don't know what it is." And to see it brought in, they're not there. My first thought is, thank God somebody stole those cans. But then to realize someone put them away. It's wonderful. Listen, concerning our spiritual warfare, Christ has gone ahead of us. Where are we going? Hey, we don't know exactly. Where will you be next month? Where will you be next year? Where will I be? I don't know. But I know who does know. And I'm going to be trusting in Him. Isn't it awesome? When Jesus rose again from the dead, He told the women to go tell the disciples, and the angels even reminded them, go tell the disciples that Christ has gone ahead of them into Galilee. He does that for all of us. What's before you? Christ is going ahead. Jesus has already prepared the way. He has called us to a spiritual battle that He has already won. When He hung on that cross and said, "It's finished," He was not joking. And I love when the apostles and the disciples came back from their first missionary journey. They were so excited because they saw people come to Christ and they saw demons subject to their power in the name of Christ. And Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall. I just saw him. He was falling." What a great thing to know that Satan can be defeated now in the name of Christ. Listen, we are no match for Satan. He is a real spiritual entity. But listen, let's not give him too much glory either. He's not omniscient. He's not everywhere. He's not omnipresent. He's not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing. Even, I personally believe, even in Bible studies, this is my personal belief. I can't prove it. But I believe when the Word of God is going out like it is right now, I believe our Lord scrambles the frequencies. Sometimes I believe that Satan's not able to understand. I think he's told so many lies that he believes his own propaganda. He's the father of lies, says the devil, or says the Bible, about the devil. Diablo, Satan. He's the father of lies. And we're going to see this tonight as we look at this armament concerning the Christian warfare. It says in verse 14, chapter 6, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Now that's about all far we're going to get tonight. This is so important. We saw last time in verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God." We could see the soldier dressed in his armor, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." That's now, that's any day, that's every day. "And having done all to stand," now listen to verse 14. Verse 14, the "stand therefore" is a tremendous bridge between these two verses. It's a link. It is so important. The standing connects us with the armament of God and our very first bit of defensive armor that we have, and that is the truth. He says, "Stand therefore." Okay, now that you're standing, you've got the whole armor of God. Okay, now here it is. "Stand therefore." It's kind of like telling your child, "Listen, get on the bike and start pedaling because you've got training wheels. You've got training wheels. You can go." "But I'm afraid I'm going to fall." You can't fall. You've got training wheels. He says, now that you've got the armor of God, Christian, stand therefore. It's not wishful thinking. It is a command. Paul is giving us a command to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And we're going to get into this tonight. Stand with this very first bit of armament. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" That's kind of a sad question. I studied that. That's a very hopeless question that he asked. Put yourself in Pilate's shoes when Jesus was being there judged just before his death. Jesus is telling Pilate a response to his question. Pilate asks him, "Are you a king?" And Jesus says, "You said it." And he began to speak about truth. And Pilate, in disgust and in hopelessness, he says, "What is truth? Rome claimed to know truth and it was leading them nowhere. They were philosophers and they were gainsayers, they were prophets and all, and it wasn't giving them any insight. It wasn't helping them along at all." And so Pilate, in his nobility and in his power, being an insider, so to speak, into the realm of Rome, he says, "What is truth? I mean, gee whiz, who can tell these days?" It almost sounds like the man on the street news reporter today, huh? What is truth? The Bible tells us here that we need to be, as Christians, standing strong, standing firm, girded with our waist about with truth. Truth around our waist. And you hear people on the streets, interviewers. Have you seen the news this week? Are you watching the news? I'm a real news fan, but I'm getting pretty sick and tired now watching the news, especially this week. People are asking on the street. Reporters are asking on the street. Monica Lewinsky's been granted immunity. What do you think? She says, you know, what damage is it going to do to Bill Clinton? Have you seen what's being spoken? Well, it's his own private business. You know, I don't know what you think about that, but you know what? Don't If you think like that, don't even let me know that you think like that. Because you know what? That guy, that position, the President of the United States, is the senior most position of servitude in the nation. Do you understand what that means? That he holds the spot as the greatest servant to the people of the United States. That's what the president is. He's to be the greatest servant among the people, or for the people of the United States. And there are people out to kill the man who, or the woman who occupies that position. And you can't go with anyone alone into a private room, which has been confessed by the president. Yeah, we were alone. You can't do that for my own safety. You can't say it's Bill Clinton's private business. No, it's my private business. She could have slit his throat, or she could have been a spy, or she could have been given information that could have jeopardized our national security. Why isn't that being asked? Forget the sexual scandalous part. Our national security was breached. Who is she? It's a dangerous thing. And people are asked on the streets, "What do you think, it's true or do you think it's false?" And people are saying, "I don't really care." That's what's wrong. People don't care. What if Jesus said, "Well, I don't really care. Heaven, hell for them, whatever. I'm going back to my Father. What do I care?" You know, to every man his own. You know, whatever feels good, do it. Let the survival of the fittest be done. No. Truth. Truth is awesome because truth, like the sciences, by the way, speak of an absolute supreme authority. Truth never wavers. It never changes. Truth is truth, and it is like a rock. And people can try to reinterpret the truth. They can try to dance around it. They can try to do anything they want with it. But the truth stands sure. Jesus stands sure. The Bible says Jesus is truth. When Pilate asked what is truth, truth was standing right in front of him. And Pilate couldn't see it. And so the Christian needs to be wrapped in truth. We're going to see four things tonight, very quickly, in verse 14. The first thing we'll see is that we've been given the truth of God. Jot that down if you would. We've been given the truth of God, that is the Bible. The second point we'll see tonight is that we're to be prepared to give out the truth of God. The third thing is that we're to be personally involved in the truth. And the fourth thing is that we're now to be bold regarding the truth. We are to be wrapped in the truth. First point, we've been given the truth of God. He says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." This word "having" is what we're going to focus on first. It's very important. What are you saying here by using the word "having" in English? The word is "endu" in Greek, and it means having invested in the proper clothing or to be wearing the best attire for the occasion. Isn't that funny? Having, to have it. It's not the word "girding." You would think maybe that would apply to girding. But to have, it's speaking about clothing. I have a purple shirt. Now, you may not think it's appropriate tonight, but it's cool and it's hot in here. Thus, it's appropriate for me. But the word means to have it, to have the appropriate attire that is needed. It is a word in the Greek specifically for that occasion. And that's fantastic. If you go to the beach, a formal gown would be quite ridiculous. If you go to the ball with a bathing suit on, you'd look like a fool. They probably wouldn't let you in. You're to have the right attire. And Paul is saying, now we can stand, and because we can, we are to be wearing the proper attire. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4 says, "You therefore, my son," that's Paul talking to Tim, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ." This is what Paul is telling Timothy. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may be able to please the one who has enlisted him as a soldier. So in other words, in wearing the attire of a soldier, God has provided all that is needed. It's all been done. You and I have everything, listen, everything to be successful as a Christian. Victorious. Having power over sin. Able to contend for the faith. He has given it all to us. And so why are we squandering it? Or why are we sinking? Why are so many people giving up and going back into the world? They're giving up on it. And you know who's getting the blame? We hear it as pastors. Maybe you hear it as people of your home fellow group, home fellowship groups and all. But listen, people are just walking away from the truth. They're not applying the truth anymore. And they begin to massage it. They begin to compromise the truth. They'll say, yes, oh, I believe God is just and God is holy, but you know what, after I'm done doing this thing, He'll forgive me or whatever the case might be. And that's not right, and nor will God do that. By the way, the Old Testament talks about high-handed sin. That's how it refers to as sin of the high hand. It says in the Old Testament that premeditated high-handed sin was not to be forgiven, that God would not forgive it. There are people who think, well, I'm going to manipulate and scam and scheme and pull off this sin, lie against the truth, and God will forgive me. And He will not. Well, this little thing that I'm doing, it's not harming anybody but just me over here, and you're justifying it. That's not right. Nor will you get away with it. The Bible says in the book of Numbers, your sin will reveal you. And truth will keep us from sin. And so when we walk away from Christ in sin, we've walked away, first of all, from truth. And so this word to be, wearing the best or the proper attire. Listen, the devil's strategy is to get us to tear at one another's clothing. Jesus has clothed us in righteousness. And what do I do? What do? We doubt it. We not only doubt it when we think about or look at ourselves, when we look at each other, we begin to doubt it. Oh, there's so-and-so. And Christians have this tendency to tear one another's, what, robe of righteousness? We have to be careful. One of Satan's strategies is to get us hooked on feelings rather than truth. The Bible tells us that we come to Christ by faith. Isn't it amazing and isn't it great that it says that rather than feelings? How do you feel? And how will you feel? It's not by feelings. If we were saved by feelings, we'd be lost more than we're saved. But the fact is, we're saved by having our faith in Christ Jesus. And so we are to be standing strong and we are to be girded about. Listen, we need to be applying this truth. We come to this word girded. Stand therefore having girded your waist. This is kind of a funny word. It sounds funny, girded. Well, whatever the word means, we do need to be girding. We need to stand up. We need to be tough. When we need to be girding. Well, what is girding? Girding means to pull up and tighten all around you. The vitals. Now watch this. The word means to take a robe, because they wore robes in those days. It means to pull up your robe and to tuck it. You would bring it up and you would tuck it into a belt or like a... It's like a... I heard that word, girdle. Girdle. I don't even know what a girdle looks like, so I don't know. But a sash. Okay, what's a sash look like? All I know is my belt. I'm reaching for it right now. A belt. It's like a belt. Or take a rope and you put the rope around you. Or like a scarf that I would call like a muffler, you know, for your neck. Scarf. You tie it around your waist. Well, I like muffler better than a girdle. You would tie it. Well, you would pull up your robe and you would tuck it in this girdle. You would tuck it in. Why? Because you are either going to go to work, or you're going to run, or you're going to go to war. You're either going to serve, you're going to run, or you're going to go to war. That's what you would do. By the way, in that culture, just as it is today, you don't see people walking around in the Middle East with shorts on. You just don't see it unless they're from California. And then sometimes they'll get scolded. They'll scold you there. In some areas you can't go in if you have shorts on. We don't understand that. Listen to this. He says that we are to be girded about with truth. That is, we are to be taking up the truth of God, the Bible, the Word of God, and we are to be putting it around our vitals. And listen, the very words that he uses here, I wanted to giggle about it first, but now you listen to it, it's kind of frightening. The word that he uses about girding up the loins of our truth, or the waist, the word waist, some of your Bibles in the old King James English uses the word loins. Is that not right? I have a new King James, it says waist. Loins, listen, it's the procreative portions of your body. For the female, it is her reproductive area. For the male, it's his reproductive area. That's the word it's talking about. You are to take up truth and be wrapped in it around this vital part. Now, gee, what does this all mean? Does this mean if I read my Bible, we'll have more babies? No. We're talking about spiritual stuff. Does this mean, listen, it means spiritual power and spiritual victory, and listen, spiritual reproductive power. If you and I are weak in this area where you don't know, I don't know the truth, you know what's going to happen to us? We're going to be sucked away with someone who knocks on our door. You know what? You know, the Jehovah Witnesses boast that they have more converts from Christianity than any other denomination or from any other religion. But when you probe into their records, they actually will tell you that they have more Catholics converted to the Jehovah Witness cult than any other people. More Catholics. That's what they say. That's what they publish. That's what they'll tell you. And one of the reasons is why there's not a deep study encouraged regarding the word of truth. The Bible tells us that we need to rightly divide the word of truth. Do we even know where to begin? This is such a passionate thing. The word of truth. We need to be absolutely rest assured in the fact that He has given it to us. The Bible, what do you do with this book? What do I do with it? Are we taking it in? Are we putting it into action? Sometimes, and I'm sure you're just like me, when I read my Bible, sometimes I just kind of get fed up with just, I've read a whole chapter. And it's like, what did I just read? Have you ever done that, or is it just me? It's just me. Okay, then I'll read the chapter, and it's like, what did I just learn? I'm convinced of this thing. Honestly, I must. The Bible commands us. I will read my Bible, and I will grow reading it. And we are to read it. But I am convinced that if I take one verse and make it a verse for the month or for the year and pray about that verse and focus on that one verse, by me doing it, you would be better off. I would treat you better. I think I would put it into action more wholeheartedly if I took one verse and applied it with all my might than reading an entire chapter and letting it just blow by in my mind. Do you know what I'm talking about? How much reading we do in a year? And I feel sometimes so defeated with how little progress I make. The truth has been given. Am I applying the truth to where I work? To where I play? To what we do? We need to be prepared to give away the truth. Well, we can't give it away unless we've taken it in. Second point, we need to be prepared to be giving away the truth. Stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, that reproductive power. There's only one way that this church will grow, and that is not with seminars and not with these church growth programs we get in the mail all the time. Send us $8,000 and we'll have your church grow by 10%. Guaranteed. Money back. Can you, I don't know. Who actually responds to this kind of mail? There's only one way a church grows, and that's when someone's blessed by the Word of God and then they go and tell somebody else. And they say, well, you know, maybe I'll come. And they want to come, and they walk in here, and they sit down, and the first thing they notice is that everybody's got Bibles. Oh boy, am I in a room with a bunch of fanatics. But they sit down. And then the worship begins, and they see you raising your hands or singing, and they see you're excited, that you're really in love with Jesus. And it kind of drives them nuts. But then they see, they're convinced that you're for real. And then as time goes on, the study goes on. Somebody told me this last Sunday. Literally, I was walking out this door over here, and this person said, were you dogging me all week? And I said, what? They said, were you watching me all week? And I said, I just wasn't getting it. I was tired and disconnected. And I said, what? And they said, everything you talked about is exactly what happened in my life last week. And I was wondering why. And it's really ministered to me. And you know how cool it is? You know, as a pastor, I'm supposed to just go, praise the Lord, you know, and hallelujah. Inside, I mean, that's the look on my face. Oh, praise the Lord. Inside, I'm going, God, you're awesome. Oh, man, Lord. It happens all the time. That's when the Spirit's moving. And somebody will come. You'll invite somebody. They'll sit down. Something will be said. It might offend everybody else in the room. But that person is exactly what they wanted to hear. What they needed to hear. What they had to hear. And it's like, oh, man. And they're hooked. Jesus is speaking to me. They want to ask the question, what happened? How is it? Hey, it's the Word of God. We take in, we are girded about with truth. This reproductive thing about the Christian, I love the way Pastor Chuck puts it. Someone, in fact, it was years ago, if I remember the story right, Life magazine asked Pastor Chuck, how is it that Calvary Chapel is growing and it's not a denomination? And he said, you know what? Healthy sheep produce more sheep. That was the great, profound theological response. And that is true. That's what so many churches have missed. When you do topical or pseudo-topical or whatever you want to call it, sermonettes as they put it for Christianettes, you know, little fluff and stuff, it's like, oh, that was cute. That was a cute message. And he made us laugh. But, I mean, what is it? What's going on? Will it be able to help you be girded up around the productive part of the Christian's life and to be able to actually affect someone else's life for Christ? Let me ask you and let me ask myself. May the Spirit be talking to us right now. In our lives privately, are we bearing the fruit of the fact that our loins have been girded about with truth? If we have truth in our lives, we will reproduce other believers in our lives and through our lives. Or we will be an encouragement to the household of faith. Somehow we will be fruitful, productive Christians. We are to be prepared to be giving the truth away, to be girded. Satan, the demon powers, are against the truth. They want to attack it, pollute it, twist it, and infiltrate it. Paul the Apostle warned us that in the book of Acts, as he neared the end of his ministry, he was talking about how in the end, he said, I have given everything I could concerning the full counsel of God to all of you, and there is no blood on my hands concerning you guys. They're on the beach. It was an amazing scene. They're all together and Paul's leaving, and it says they're very emotional. They fell down on his neck and they kissed him, knowing that they would not see him again. And Paul said, listen, my hands are clean from blood, from the blood of all men. I have been very careful to give you the full counsel of God. You know what? That's not being said anymore. The full counsel of God. The full counsel of God is salvation by grace alone, not by works. That God judges sin. That man is fallen and he needs the Redeemer. That heaven is wonderful and hell is hot. That there's a Satan who's out against our souls. And there's trickery. There's lying and there's deceit. There's tribulation, there's difficulty in the Christian life. Nobody wants to preach it. Nobody wants to say it. Paul said, I gave the full counsel. Why? Because it is truth. And he wanted them to be strong against the powers of the enemy, because Paul said that the enemy would infiltrate through lies. He says, even among your own selves, there will be people rise up within the church who will lead people away with deceptive words. We're to be given away the truth, yes. We're to be productive regarding the truth. We've been given the truth. But listen, you've heard this quote before. I quote it a lot because I like it. I think it's so true, painfully true, sad to say. But Mark Twain said that the truth just gets its shoes on before a lie has made it around the world two times. You know, a lie gets up and goes, and you know, the truth is just sitting there putting his shoes on like a turtle, and it doesn't hardly get a chance to get out there to go anywhere before a lie runs around the world two times. Isn't that true? Man, you know, if somebody's got some good news over here, it's so sad, but the good news, you know, I keep looking over here because there's so many over here. But I'm just thinking concerning like a lie. Let's say a lie started on this side, seeing there's more of you to lie on this side. That, you know, this little thing about swimming in somebody's swimming pool? You know, you tell kids this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Do I have to say it? Now make sure you go to the bathroom, Johnny, because if you go in the pool, there'll be this big fluorescent green ring around you, and it'd be pointing like an arrow. If somebody was to tell a lie, you would see this green cloud come flowing out from this end of the sanctuary, you see. Not this end, but this end. And go this way. And it would go quick. But if somebody told the truth, it would go so much slower. It's just the nature of the world and how the fallen nature is. And know that when somebody says a falsehood, when somebody says a lie, Satan will take it and he'll propel it and he'll drive it. You know this in your own personal relationships, don't you? You'll say something that's true. Somebody will say something that's false about the same situation. And all the judges in the community can say, yep, this was the way it happened. And yet that one person who has a falsehood will find more ears to deposit that lie in than everybody who has the truth. Have you noticed that? Have you seen how that happens? It's a very sad thing. It's very sad when somebody hears something in that type of an environment and they never go to the source to find out if it's true. They'll just believe it. We need to be careful. Satan wants to undermine the truth with lies. We are to be girded, pulled up tight all around. The word means to be fastened with the belt. By the way, listen to this word. I found this extremely interesting. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus says, let your waist be girded with your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that that they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Now listen to this. Assuredly I say to you that he, that's the master, will gird himself and have them to sit down and eat, and will come and serve them. Now listen to this. You are waiting, if you know your Bible, you've been waiting for me to say that the Roman guard is what Paul has in his mind. Remember, he's strapped to a Roman guard. And he is looking at this soldier, and he's going to talk about all of his armaments. But it is true, yes, it is true, that the first thing that the soldier puts on is his girdle, his belt. It is the first thing before everything else comes on. But you know what? The word that's used here is not the word. It's not that word. It's to be girded for service. I find this very interesting because we're talking about Christian armor. The Christian, in his armor, for the soldier to do his job, one of the very main things is to be of the heart, to be girded for service. Do we serve? Are we serving? Are you? Don't answer. You talk to God about it. But wherever you go to church on a regular basis, are you serving in some sort of ministry there? God knows they need you. If it's this church or another church, are you serving? Well, I don't know if I'm ready. Listen, I got news for you. You'll never be ready. I'll never be ready. Because when you say you'll never be ready, and when I say I'm never going to be ready, it's to my judgment or to your judgment. God says, I tell you what, you're called, and I equip the called. I don't call the equipped. I look for people who need to be equipped, and I equip them. I call them, and I equip them. And that's who I want to use. So the question you and I have to ask ourselves right now is, what am I doing in the church that I attend? You don't have to do anything. But as a believer, we ought to be girded up with truth, and we are to be girded in a way that we serve one another. It's very important. And this same word is found in Luke chapter 12, verse 35. In John 13, verse 3, Jesus, it says there, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now that is, he took this belt and wrapped it around him in such a way that he was able to wash all of their feet and do all of the ministry that he did in a way that he was not encumbered. And that's the very same word. We are to be serving like this. We are for battle, but we are to be ministering in battle. The third point, we're to be personally involved in the truth. He says, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, listen, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Listen, we are personally to be involved in the truth because you know what? Satan came to Eve. I don't know where Adam was, but Eve was alone. And the serpent, if you read your Bible carefully, I'll just throw this out there and let you stay up all night to figure this one out. The serpent walked up to her. Go figure that one out. The serpent walked up to her and said, I don't know about you, but the first thing I get out of this is, stay away from talking snakes. This is weird stuff, man. You know, does that mean like, you know, a platypus walking by, it could talk too? This is weird. Why did Eve go, a talking snake? Why didn't you do that? This is for something... I mean, this drives me wild. But, you know, that's weird. And what did he say? What did Satan say through the serpent? He always looked for a tool, you know. He said, has God really said? Casting doubt. Challenging the word of God, the truth of God. Has God really said? Have you been given a promise in the Bible? You, personally? Are you hanging on to a promise? Do you believe that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? You really believe it? Satan will come and his little goobers will come and whisper in your ear and say, hath Jesus really said? Don't think that you're immune to this. I love reading Charles Spurgeon and about his life. Charles Spurgeon often fought temptations of great such heavy depression and depressive states that Spurgeon says in his own writings that he often thought of suicide. The enemy would bring him to such a point. We don't like to think about that. I mean, he's the hero of preachers. He's it. 19 years old and his messages are being published worldwide, preaching to a church of 7,000 people. Probably the greatest orator that's ever lived. And he mentions how many times the enemy would sow seeds of doubt in his mind. Have God really said that if you just trust in Jesus, you're going to go to heaven? Listen, friend, you'll sink if you're not girded about with truth. You'll sink. Of course I can't. I'm going to ask this question, but you would never respond to this, even though we should be able to have the atmosphere to do it. That being the case where we would sink if we were not connected to the truth, truth keeping us afloat, truth keeping us productive, truth keeping us safe. And if we're subject to doubt, and we are, who in here has no friends? Who in here has no Christian friends? Where you can say, you know what? I'm doubting, man. I need some help. I need prayer. If you don't have a friend like that, I don't know what to say. Pray that God would raise up to you a friend that you can lean on. Do you have anybody in this Christian life that you can lean on? I mean, really, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, lean. You've got to have someone like that. We all do. You're not a Paul Simon. Remember what Paul Simon said? I am an island and I'm a rock. And a rock feels no pain. What a dope. That absolutely... Everybody hurts. Everybody needs strength. And there's times when you and I are sinking. And you and I have to have a friend that picks us up. Even being so connected to the truth. Do you have that person? Or do you have those friends? I was very honored tonight, just before I got here, I got a phone call from a pastor thousands of miles away. And I was so blessed because he said, you know what? I've been praying and I want to know if you will be available for me in my Christian life to be able to just let my heart cry, kick, scream, go into a rage. And I was so, on the other end, on this end of the phone, I was absolutely, had the wind taken out of me. I couldn't believe that this man would call me. And I said, wait a minute, only under the conditions that I can do the same with you. And he said, yeah, cool. I jotted a few things down. I want to read them just as they are. If your waist is not girded with truth, you'll have no appetite for biblical truth. If your waist is not girded with truth, you'll have no real passion to reach the lost. If your waist is not girded with truth, you'll be unable to discern, or you'll be gullible if you're not girded about with truth. You'll just be, oh, really? Hey, this is what's going on down the street. Oh, come on. Really? And off go your feet to the little hyper show or whatever the thing might be. If your waist is not girded with truth, you'll fall sickly to false doctrine. If your waist is not girded with truth, you'll have no desire to fight for the truth. You'll compromise on every front with anything at any time, because you have no anchor. And finally this, and we're done. Truth itself. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. We're now to be bold with the truth of God. And what is this truth? Well, the word in the Greek is aletheia. You've heard of, in fact, there's a big foundation, right? Named after that wonderful word, the Alethean Foundation. Aletheia in the Greek is the actual. It means the proven, the reality. What is actual. There's what's dreamed of, and then there's what's actual. This word aletheia in Greek means the actual. The word truth appears in the original Greek, not as a truth or the truth, but truth itself in the virgin sense, meaning this, that truth only, listen, this is fun and we'll be done with this in a moment. Listen, truth only originates in God alone. You might say, well, you know, how, can we know that for sure? There's a program, and at the beginning and at the end of the program, it says, the truth is out there. I want to scream at the TV and say, the truth has come! The truth is Christ! In fact, we're going to be having a prophecy conference this September at the convention center. And we're doing up our flyers with that kind of a look. We want to get all the space junk that's flying around out there and have them come in and hear the truth. We're going to have the truth is out there. Some kind of poster, you know. The truth is out there in fine print, and His name is Jesus. Oh, what is truth? Pilate says, what is truth? Standing right in front of Him, Jesus Christ. The truth does not naturally reside in human beings nor angels, no matter how great. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Scripture says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. When we have the truth, we'll speak with boldness because we know it is the truth. Quickly, Acts 6, verse 7 says, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many priests were obedient to the faith. Why? Because truth convicts people and convinces people. If you and I don't know the truth and we can't contend for the faith, then we're going to lose the battle. The Bible tells us, I'll just give you, I've got lots of references for time's sake, I'll give you one each. The Bible tells us, first of all, that Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In John 14, verse 6, He says, I am the truth. But the Bible says also that the Holy Spirit is truth. John 14, 16 says, and I will pray to the Father, and He will give you the Helper, the Helper, the Helper. The Helper, who's the Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And then we know that the Bible tells us that our God, God the Father, is the God of all truth. And then, think of this. Everything that you and I hear can be categorized in one of two areas. Technically, unfortunately, there's a third I'll introduce, I guess, but everything that you and I hear can be categorized into two areas. It's either true or it's false. And here's the scary part. The scary part is when the truth has a lie in it. When there's a 95% content of truth and a 5% content of lie, you have what is called a cult. And you're just off course enough to leave the mainland and fly 4,000 miles and run out of fuel and miss the Hawaiian Islands by 1,000 miles because you were 1 degree off. And Satan knows this. And who's forming your theology? Who's forming the way you think? Is it the media? What do you think? We're Christians. We're supposed to be the greatest thinkers in the world. Did you know that? We're Christians. We're supposed to be the smartest. Our God made our brains. We have a direct connection with the God who made our brains. We ought to... Hey, Lord, it's me. You made me? Fix me. No, you made me, Lord? I mean, help me. Fill me. Think. The truth. Our weaponry begins with the truth. And Paul said something radical, and we're done. I promise. Last verse. Paul said something so radical in 1 Timothy 3:15. He says, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Listen, your church, where you go, is the church of the living God and is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I thought it was a warehouse. You guys are the pillar and the ground of the truth. How do you think the truth is going to get out there? By us right in here. Isn't that awesome to think? So we get up and we go now to the battlefield. Girded, reproductive, strong, knowing what the Bible says, being able to contend for the faith, because we spend time in the Word and we assimilate the Word of God to our hearts. Important truth. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask you that you would, Lord, in our lives, open our eyes to the fact that you have given us the truth. And Lord, that we're to be prepared to give it out, no matter who we are, no matter how young we are, no matter how old we are. We can't say this is for the person next to us or behind us or to the other side of us. We have to ask ourselves, Lord, how do you want to use me? It's been given to me. I'm to be prepared. I'm to be personally involved. And Lord, help us now to go forward in boldness regarding your truth. And Lord, in the freedom that your truth brings, may we go forward now with your power as a strong soldier. In Jesus' name, amen.